Grab your Bible, Psalm 107, remain standing just a moment. And again, it's good to see you. We're going to give you a few truths from this psalm tonight. So we started it on last week, I believe it was. Won't give you all this. We'll give you about, give you the introduction last week. And just tried to let the Lord lead us on what to give you last week. I'll give you 3 points tonight. We'll finish it up on next week, okay? I want to spend some time in the service practicing what we heard preach on Sunday night. As Brother Raines is with us all Lord's Day this past Sunday. Great day, great preaching. Sunday night was just exactly what our church needed to hear. Of course, if you preach on prayer and intercession, I don't know of a church in America that could not use the message that we heard to be challenged and pointed to the secret place. And I think that's where we're losing the battle. And I'm for doing a lot of things. Get involved, do something, soul winning, street preaching, preaching in churches, passing out tracts. Amen. All those things are wonderful, but if you do not learn how to intercede, all of that is powerless. I believe that with all of my heart. And I appreciate the challenge Brother Raines laid on us. Not just praying for our nation, but praying for the church and praying for one another and in matters concerning the people of God. Been chewing on that for the last 3 days. Been trying to practice it the last 3 days. And the more you practice that, the more things you get to hear and watch God do and hear about God doing and answers to those prayers. And it just makes you want to go pray some more. Amen. Amen. Well, that's 4 of us. Hallelujah. Psalm 107, verse 1, will give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men, and this verse recurs over and over in Psalm 107, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Notice verse 13, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Let me read one more section. We'll try to deal with all these verses quickly tonight. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquity, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and the works with rejoicing. We'll leave off our reading there tonight. A lot of things to be said just in those verses. We'll be pressed to get it all said. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, tonight, one more time, we want to bow. Recognizing tonight in and of ourselves is no merit, no work. Nothing we've earned before God to deserve, Lord, to have the right to have your listening ears. So, Lord, we come tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, that name that's above every name, the name we claim the day we got saved, Lord, for all our salvation, that name, Lord, that's been set apart as a saving name, a name of deliverance, a name, Lord, that brings men out of sin and out of darkness and off a road of hell and establishes our going in a right way. Lord, we're thankful tonight for him that has done that. Lord, this evening, Lord, in his name, we do approach you having confidence in the word of God as it has told us. If we ask anything in his name, he hears us. That, Lord, through him, we have the petitions that we desire, Lord, in our heart and pour out before you. Lord, tonight, thank you for bringing us this way. Lord, our desire for this service is just simply this, that, Lord, you'd speak tonight, that you'd give a word of encouragement, a word of blessing, a word of challenge. Lord, we know tonight that our God knows everything about our life, everything about our families, everything about this church. And, Lord, we know tonight, Lord, you can send a word and put your finger on exactly, Lord, the issue of our life that we need help in tonight. And so we trust you for that. May the mercy of God and grace of God be displayed in that regard. Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. Psalm 107, we said last week, quickly I'll rehearse a few things and we'll dive in to the meat of the message that we've studied for this psalm. But Psalm 107 is another likely authored by David. Maybe some men would take issue with that. That's kind of my opinion in studying these. But it's often connected closely to the psalms, two psalms previous to this, Psalm 105 and 106. And they are considered to be a trilogy of Israel's recorded history. These psalms over and over, one after another, give a rehearsal of the history of the people of God and different things they face, different situations they find themselves in, different ways that God ministered to the people of God throughout their history. And we won't go back to Psalm 105 and 106. You go back, listen to the streams on the internet and get those or get a copy of them. But we want to focus on Psalm 107. In this particular psalm, David is rehearsing several situations that each involve three specific things. They involve a crisis. For whatever the reason is, they're in the crisis. There is a crisis that comes against the people of God, sometimes because of their enemy, sometimes by the providential leading of God, sometimes, as we'll see tonight, because of their own decisions and their own transgressions, they encounter a crisis that is in their life. And so David, in each of these situations, deals with a crisis. He deals with a call in every situation that they face. David records over and over the same thought throughout this psalm in several different verses. Then they cried, verse 6, unto the Lord in their trouble. And so there is a crying, a calling upon God because of the crisis that they have encountered. And then in each of these situations, David will show a consolation. The fact that God was aware of their crisis and God had heard their cry, their call, we find that God engages them where they are, in spite of why they are where they are. God comes in great consolation, delivering, saving, and bringing them out of their troubles and out of their dire situations. And so in each of these situations, there is accompanied a command that we are to praise God for these things that he has done, not just for Israel, but for you and I in our generation. I believe if we look through the pages of the history of our own lives and of our own families, I know it's true of the history of this church, that it is made up of crises, it is made up of calling, and it is made up of consolation. And so David gives the accompanying command throughout this psalm, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works of the children of men. That is repeated over and over with exclamation, word for word. That is what David is driving home in this psalm, is that men should praise the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. It is believed this psalm was sung in regard to the Jews' journey and travel year by year, the holy city. They would sing songs. They would sing, in fact, several psalms. 107 was one of those psalms that they would sing in their journey. And one of the reasons they would sing it, Brother Jeremy, is it's a song that stirs praise. It's a song that gives command that when you're entering in the presence of God, don't come in a deadbeat, and don't come in dry, and don't come in downtrodden and discouraged because of where you are. Get your eyes on God. And if you're in a bad situation, call out to God, watch what God can do, and then begin to praise God for that he has done. And so the word praise is used five times in this psalm, verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, verse 31. That's where we find the phrase, oh, that men would praise the Lord. And then it's used a fifth time in verse number 32 in regard to praising the Lord in the congregation, the people, and in the assembly of the elders. And so praise is the act of acknowledging what is good and right about God in the ways he works in our lives. You say, what do you mean, praise the Lord? Amen. It simply implies, amen, that we are to look and examine our life, and we're to acknowledge the ways that God has moved in our life, and God has helped us in our life, and God has given us goodness and grace and mercy and love, and then we're to reciprocate back to him, amen, in a spirit of gratitude, praise, and worship for his works in our life. And so this word, when you study it, portrays one intensively casting something in the direction of another. And so we take our words and we take the gratitude of our heart and we're casting it heavenward as praise unto the Lord. The word that we're focused in here for our thought, I'm bogging down a little bit, I gotta speed up, but it's the word would, and it's used over and over in verse number 8, verse number 15, verse 21, and verse number 31. When David in these verses speaks of our praise to God, here's what he said. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. And so when we come to this word would in regard to men praising the Lord, it is revealing to us that this matter of praise, it is a matter of voluntary action of man's will. And David is saying we need to voluntarily give God what God deserves. Amen. There must be a moving of our will to do this. We don't do it just because we're overwhelmed emotionally with, amen, a recent event or a present happening or a present answer to prayer. But it is a moving of our will. It's easy to praise God when you just, amen, when you just seen something happen or you're walking through and living in victory in the moment. But this is a matter of the will. It's to be given. Word would and praise, we understand, involves the matter that it is to be given. And though willingly received by God, it is never taken. God doesn't take praise from us. It is something we've got to present to him. Amen. That involves us being willing to give into him. Now, he'll receive what we're willing to give. Amen. But he ain't going to come down and knock you on the head. Amen. And force you to praise and take something that you are not willing to give. And so David said, oh, that men would, amen, an involvement of a voluntary action of our will. It flows from love for God, and it flows from a love to give him praise. And so tonight, I believe we ought to be striving to love God. I believe we ought to strive to love God. But the more we love God, here's what you find. You'll begin to love to praise him. And the more you love to praise him, guess what? The more you begin to love God. And then the more you love to praise him. And then the more you love God. And then the more you love to praise him. And so there is a reciprocal thing that is taking place. As we take inventory of God's goodness in our life, We began to love Him not only for who He is, but we love Him for what He has done. And then we began to fall in love with the thought and the action and fulfilling His desire that somebody would give Him praise. And to give us our thought, and that's what David is saying, oh, that men would praise the Lord. Amen. And he says it with exclamation. He is saying, love God and then fall in love with giving Him praise. And we give an illustration to get our thought, and I used Brother Larry last week. He wasn't here. He's here this week. And so, amen, I'll say it again, and it will get us to this thought. Amen. The many times we've heard in the years the Lord has had the Jenkins here in the church, and we're thankful for them. But one of the things that I picked up on about Brother Larry is that if you say, does anybody have a word of testimony? Anybody got a word of praise? And all of us agreed on last Wednesday night, we're all acquainted with what Brother Larry is going to say when he stands, usually with a tear in his eye and a hand uplifted. He'll make this statement, I would love to praise the Lord. I would love to praise the Lord. What he's saying is, nobody's forcing my hand. I'm not doing it because the preacher made me feel like a low-down rot gut dog because I've been sitting on my hands for months and years not saying anything. When Brother Larry stands and said, I would love to praise the Lord, what he's saying is, there's something that, amen, is in me that has acknowledged God's goodness in my life. And there would be nothing more I would love to do in this moment and with this opportunity and a public setting to be able to praise my God. Amen. And I believe that is the theme of Psalm 107. Amen. Loving God and falling in love with praising the Lord. Amen. Do you love God tonight? Do you love to praise Him? Amen. Is there something in your heart that when you begin to praise God, amen, you know you're giving God what He deserves and what He desires. Amen, you know you're not being an ingrate. You know, amen, you've moved beyond boredom Christianity. Amen, and you know God is active in your life. You know God has moved in your life. You know God has answered prayers. You know that God's been better to you than you deserve. Amen, you begin to love to praise God for His goodness. David is saying, oh, that men would praise the Lord. And so we're preaching. Brother Larry, I hope you don't mind me stealing your phrase, but amen, the Holy Ghost said I could. So amen, we're in partnership. Amen, but we're preaching Psalm 107 with the thought in mind, I would love to praise the Lord. Amen. Now, amen, if we're going to fall in love with Him and fall in love with praising Him, amen, then we got to tap into some things that inspire that in us. I believe that's what David does in this psalm. And I've noted six reasons that, amen, that David is going to praise the Lord. And by the way, amen, and when we think about I would love to praise the Lord, amen, there's only one prerequisite found in Psalm 107. That I can uncover anyway in this psalm for those who had praised Him, and that's found the opening three verses. Amen. As He begins to call upon us to give thanks to the Lord for His good, His mercy endureth forever. And then He makes this statement, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The only prerequisite, the only qualification, amen, that somebody has to have to fall in love with praising the Lord is you've got to be redeemed. Amen. Those that have been redeemed, let them say so. Those that have been bought out of the hand of the enemy. Amen. Those that, amen, have been gathered from every land and from every tribe and from every nation. Amen. And been brought in the family of God. That is the crowd. And David said, oh, to want to praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, we should praise the Lord. Amen. And if anybody should praise the Lord, and if anybody could praise the Lord, Amen. It is those that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And my friend, if anybody would praise him tonight, amen, it ought to be you and I that lift our hand and say, I am in the number of the redeemed. Amen. And so thank God I meet the requirement. I hope you do. Amen. And if you're here tonight and you've never been redeemed, you don't meet that. At qualification, you can meet it before you leave this place tonight. Amen. You can be saved. He's still in the saving business. Amen. The reason a lot of folk don't love God and don't love praising the Lord, amen, maybe they've never been redeemed. They've never been born again and truly saved. Amen. And until you know that, you won't care about any of these other six reasons we'll find to praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And so notice six reasons redeemed are acquainted, that we are acquainted with about God that moves our will to love to praise the Lord. I'd love to praise the Lord tonight. Number one, for His leading. For His leading. Notice in verses 4-9. Oh boy, we may not get all three of these in. I'm a trying tonight, all right? For His leading. In verses 4, down through verse number 6, what we find in these verses, we read them tonight, they show a people wandering, it shows a people fainting, and it shows a people crying. Notice with me in these verses again, as David begins to uncover the history of the people of God. Here is their crisis. He said they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And so we find here a wandering people. When we're acquainted with the wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel, how then they spent some time in the wilderness and the Lord leading them out of Egypt. They spent a little time in the wilderness, Brother Riley, in the will of God. God led them to Kadesh Barnea. They rejected the plan of God. And then they would spend another 40 years in the wilderness, not necessarily in the will of God, but by their own rebellion and their own choosing. Amen. And so they were acquainted with the wilderness. They knew what it was in their history, how to wander around the wilderness. Amen. And that historical record we have in the Old Testament, we're acquainted with the fact that in their wandering, amen, how many times they fainted? How many times they got weary? How many times the wilderness sapped all the strength out of them and my friend reduced them, amen, to a state of fainting? And then he speaks in the fact that then they cried unto the Lord. And I'm not being mean to the children of Israel because we ain't no better. In fact, we may be far worse. Amen. But they in the wilderness many a days, amen, acted like a bunch of crybabies. Amen. Moses, one of you died. Moses, you brought us out here to die. Moses, we're wandering around in circles and we're fainting. And they would just weep and cry and shed their tears throughout those wilderness wandering. But notice with me, amen, the tone changes in the middle of verse number 6, and particularly in verse number 7, it shows that the Lord intervened to give them leadership in the steps that they should take. Yes, they're going to be in the wilderness, sometimes in the will of God, sometimes out of the will of God. Amen. Whether in the will of God or out of the will of God, God, amen, was going to give them leadership. Amen. God would lead them through that and get them through that time of wandering and time of fainting and time of crying. And I want to say tonight, I'd love to praise the Lord for His leading. Amen. I would love to praise Him tonight. Amen. In this wilderness land in which we live, amen, then we have not been left without a guide. Amen, we've not been left unto ourselves. Amen, how many days had my friend we wander? Amen, to the left or to the right? How many times and we would have wandered and been lost at, and my friend fainted and died in the wilderness. Amen. Had it not been for the leading of our God. And so David said, yes, amen, we wandered in the wilderness, and we wandered in solitary ways, and we wandered in places where we could find no city to dwell in. And David, my friend, speaks of them getting hungry. Amen, all the times they'd come to Moses and say, we're going to die out here. We're hungry. And God would rain down manna to feed them. And when that wasn't enough, and they bellyached and loathed the light bread of glory, and come to Moses and said, we need some meat. And God would rain down quail for them to enjoy. How God was leading them through the wilderness. When they would begin to be thirsty and complain, that they were nigh unto the point of death, God would bring them to places, said, and even bitter waters, and make them sweet so they could drink it. And times when it seemed like their tongue clinged to the roof of their mouth in the midst of the wilderness, Moses, we're wandering, we're fainting, and they would cry, and God would let water gush out of a rock and water the whole herd of the people of God. How God was leading them step by step. And tonight, I'm glad this evening in the wilderness land we're living in, I would love to praise the Lord for His leadership. And there was some maybe saying, well, if we cut across here, that would be an easier way. But they didn't know the dangers, and God saw what they themselves could not see. I want to say tonight, I'd love to praise the Lord for His leading. How many days I'd have been off course, how far I could be tonight from God and the life I live, had it not been for His leadership. Amen. You may think you're super duper and spiritual and got it all figured out. Amen. But can I be honest? There's a lot of days I don't know to go left or right. I don't know up from down. I don't know. Do I deal with it? Do I not deal with it? You say, well, how have you made it? Amen. I've made it resting on the leading of my God. Amen. To direct me. And when people criticize how I do it, amen, to go to God, say, God, we good. And God said, just follow on, son. Just walk in the path. Then I've said it's going to be okay. Amen. And so you can't listen to the critics. And you can't listen to all the know-it-alls. And you can't listen. Everybody else says they got it figured out. Amen. As a child of God, I tell you the best thing you can do in your life, amen, is rest on the fact that He led them through the wilderness. Amen. You follow Him wherever He goes. Amen. If He makes a turn, you make a turn. If He slows down, you slow down. If He speeds up, you speed up. Amen. The day will come, you'll be able to stand and say, I'd love to praise the Lord for His leading. Amen. Boy, I may not, Brother Joe, get off this point. I'm a little sorry about that, but not really. Amen. I would love to praise Him for His leading. You ever thought about where you'd be if God hadn't been leading your life? Amen. Think all them times you didn't let Him lead the mess you got in. All the times you was in a wilderness that God didn't intend on you being in. Amen. You have to do what these children of Israel did, cry out to the Lord, say, Lord, I've made a mess out of it. Amen. Ain't you glad to come running and He'll lead you on from where you are to where you ought to be? Amen. Thank God tonight we ought to love to praise Him for His leading. I thought about several things that David, and I believe you'll have to get a hold of these if you are going to love praising Him for His leading. Notice with me the direction of His leading in these verses. Amen. Y'all buckle your seatbelt for a minute. The Bible said in verse number 7, and He led them forth by the right way. We'll say tonight, He'll never lead you in the wrong way. He'll always lead you in the right way. Amen. Now that's important in these days we're living in. Because you and I are walking in a generation, amen, that nobody knows right from wrong. But our God knows right from wrong, and our God, according to that verse, gives the direction that He will lead our life in. It will always be in the right way. In the days of the judges, the indictment was laid against the people of God. Amen. There was no king in the land, and that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. My friend, God ain't interested in how you feel about it and how you think about it. Amen. He ain't interested in us being directed by the ways the winds blow. Amen. He is interested in directing our life and leading us in the right way. Amen. You say, well, where's the right way? How would I know that? I like how David put it in Psalm 23, that he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, I'm glad this evening there is a direction. Amen. That direction, you better listen to me tonight. The reason a lot of folk know nothing about loving to praise Him for His leading is they're not walking in the direction that He's leading. He'll never lead you to a worldly life. He'll never lead you to a carnal life. He'll never lead you to a self-centered life. He'll never lead you to a life that is outside of what He has said in His Word. Where's He going to lead me? He's going to lead me in a direction that is the right way. I believe that's right. I believe that's right. So I don't know. I don't know how He's leading. Well, if it's wrong, you just mark her down. God ain't leading in it. Amen. You say, I don't know right from wrong. I don't know how you come to a church like this and not know right from wrong. I'll just be honest. You ain't in no liberal Southern Baptist church that's watered it all down and blurred the lines and grayed the areas. Amen. You somewhere, and listen, we give room for grace. I got a whole message on that. I ain't talking about being a Pharisee about anything. Amen. But if you come to this church, you're going to be taught the right way. What you got to do is say, I want to follow the Lord. I'd rather Him lead my life than me lead my life and the world lead my life. And God forbid Satan be leading my life. Amen. I want the Lord to lead my life. And as I let Him lead me in that direction of the right way, amen, here's what you'll find. You'll be able to look back, amen, and you'll see God's goodness in His wonderful works as you let Him lead when it made no sense, and when you couldn't add it all up on paper, and when you couldn't explain it to all your little liberal, carnal family members and friends, but you just stepped out and said, I'm going to go with God in the right way. You'll be able to look back and say, I'd love to praise the Lord for His leading in my life. So it has something to do with the direction of His leading. Amen. Let me say a word tonight. Amen. I think we're going to tap into this aspiration, this inspiration for you and I to love to praise the Lord for His leading. We got to understand something about what David said, the destination of His leading. Amen. He led them forward, verse 7, by the right way. Oh boy, y'all unbuckle your seatbelt. I told you buckle it a minute ago. Now unbuckle it and just enjoy, amen, the ride, that they might go to a city of habitation. You know what David said? He's taking us somewhere. He's leading us through the wilderness, yes, by the right way. But we're not always going to be in the wilderness. We're not always going to be wandering. Amen, the days of our fainting shall soon come to an end because our God has a destination in view. Amen, and we won't be dwelling as pilgrims in tents. We won't be constantly pulling up the tent stakes and moving a little further down the road. Oh no, thank God one of these days. But Jack, we are going to reach the destination He's leading us to. Oh boy, I'm glad this evening there. Amen. Listen, here's what the Word of God said about Abraham, and we're of the family of God. We identify him with him in this regard. Amen. That when God called Abram out, amen, he called him, my friend, to go unto a place that God would show it. And so what did Abraham do? The Bible said he went out, not knowing whither he went. He went out, not knowing whither he went. Somebody said, hey, brother, where are you going? I don't know where I'm going. I'm just following the leading of my God. He called me out. He got me out of my idols. He got me out of my pagan family. He got me out of my false theology. He got me out of all that mess as in. And all I know is to let him have the reins and to lead my life. Well, Abram, how you going to know when you get there? He said, oh, I do know that. I'm a looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I ain't looking for what the Philistines could have built. I'm not looking for what the Amalekites could have built. I'm not looking for some grand city the Canaanites built with human hands. He said, I'm a looking for a city that has foundations, and there is no doubt about it, and only God could have built that place. And I say tonight, your destination is a child of God. It is not this wilderness land. Don't get too bogged down here. Thank God he's leading us through all this. But, hey man, I would love to praise the Lord tonight for his leading. That I know where this thing's going to end. I know where our habitation is. I know where home is. I know the destination he's leading us to. Amen. When you began to think about that, how could you not help but love to praise the Lord for his leading? Amen. The devil, when the devil was leading your life, he had a destination. He had a destination he's leading you to. Amen. You was walking with him down, amen, the broad way, went through the wide gate. My friend, it was loaded with all kinds of people. But Jesus said the destination was going to end in destruction. Eternal damnation, a place called hell. And I'm glad since I've been redeemed, the Lord's been leading me. He ain't leading me to wrath. He's not leading me to a place. I know I deserve it. I should go to hell, but I can't help that he saved me. Amen. I can't help but be excited about the destination he's going to lead me to. Boy, tonight I'd love to praise the Lord. Brother Larry, I know why you say it every time you stand up. I'd love to praise the Lord tonight for his leading, because I know where he's leading me to. Say, well, we ain't there yet. Yeah, but you as good as already there. It's so sure, amen, that it's already settled. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Nothing Hollywood can do about it. Nothing, my friend, nothing the liberals can do about it. Amen. We're going to heaven one of these days. And when we get there, it won't be by our own wit and our own wisdom and our own working. We'll get there because the Savior led us safely home. And I'd love to praise the Lord for his leading in that regard tonight. And then notice with me, and I meant to get three of these. It ain't looking good. Amen. But notice with me, if you're going to love to praise the Lord for his leading, you got to understand something about what David said in verse number 9, the delight of his leading. I love this verse. David said, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Now, he's already said in their wilderness wandering, they were hungry and thirsty. That's what he said. And we understand that is a connection to physical hunger and to physical thirst. That they got physically hungry. Brother Mike, they got physically thirsty. To the point that their body began to faint. God, listen what I'm going to say. As he leads us, and we know he gave them bread and he gave them meat. He gave them water at Marah. He gave them water at the rock. And my friend, that rock followed them all the way through the wilderness. And Paul said that rock was Christ. And so they received physical food for their physical hunger. And they received physical water, H2O, for their physical thirst. But I want to say tonight, according to verse number 9, as he leads us, he not only meets our physical needs of food and drink, David said he satisfies the soul. Amen. Oh boy. This gets us into a dimension, Brother Lucas, beyond the physical, beyond the daily needs. Ain't y'all glad he meets our daily needs? Amen. And we pray about that and we call on God to do that. And we've been instructed to pray, give us day by day our daily bread. And thank God he does. And thank God there's some beans and bread. Amen. There may be a little meat somewhere. He let us kill a few deer last year. Amen. There's some meat in the freezer. Amen. God is good to us to meet our physical needs. David did not say, amen, that he satisfied their belly only. He did not say that he whetted their parched tongue. Oh no, look at it in verse number 9. For he satisfied the longing soul. And how does he satisfy it? He said he does so by filling the hungry soul with goodness. And boy, I'm about to run, Brother Gerald. The delight in his leading. I'm glad he's not just in his leading. I don't have to drag my tracks out. I don't have to walk around depressed, tripping over my lip, up and down, and people got to wonder, well, what kind of mood is he going to come in at? I understand depression, and I understand I've dealt with all of that. That's very real. You don't have to teach me about that. I've lived it by experience. You know what else I've lived by experience? The Lord is enough to delight our soul and to fill it with his goodness in the worst day of your life. Amen. It's exactly right. Yes, sir. Don't you listen to this humdrum crowd being a Christian so hard. Shut up. Amen. He said he fills the hungry soul with goodness. I love what the Lord said. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. You can be in a crisis and still be filled with the delight in your soul. I'm saved. I know who is leading the way. It may be hard. It may be wearisome. It may be tough on me right now. But I am delighted in the midst of being burdened. I know that my God is leading the way. Amen. Well, you know, I would love to praise him if everything was going good in my life. You know what you just told me? You will never praise the Lord. The devil will make sure all you see is the negative. This world will make sure all that they pump at you is how sorry they feel for you because you're one of them Christian people. Buddy, I'm telling you, when you begin to acknowledge who's leading the way, and I've had to learn this by experience. I'll have to learn it all over again. I understand that. Hey man, in the past, I've been prone to have the biggest, grandest pity parties of anybody you've ever met. Amen. Now I'd invited you like some of y'all's invited me to yours. Come on now. I just come to remind you today, amen, he's leading the way. I know, and my heart's been heavy. Seem like the last few weeks that if it ain't direct members of our church, it is members of our church who have family members that are having all sorts of complications and their burdens in our heart for children, our burdens in our heart for our nation. I understand that, my friend, we've got a lot of weights that are on us, but can we not acknowledge tonight, hey man, it is the Lord that is leading our life. It is the Lord, it's our God that is leading, and there's a direction and there's a destination, and that He's not just leading us. A man dragging us along. Oh no, He reaches back, and every now and then He fills us with His goodness. Amen. He gives a delight in this thing of the Christian life. Being a Christian and following the leading of God, that does not bore me, that excites me. And there's been a lot of days following His leading, Brother Joe. It came with a lot of heavy hearts, a lot of heaviness in the heart, a lot of tears on the pillow. Somehow, Miss Mary, somehow your daddy following the leading of God, God's put some delight on the inside. I'm talking about days when I've been busted open bigger than I could have ever imagined. I'm talking about when family members run a sword into your heart. I'm talking about when your best friends and people that you enjoy their acquaintance, amen, decide they're not interested in following how God is leading. They began to walk away. You can say, boy, that hurts, but I'm still going with God. And God said, well, if you're going with me, here's a little more goodness I'll put in your soul. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I'm glad when we're following God, there is a delight. Amen. There is a delight. Yes. Amen. Yes. In the burdens, there's a delight. Amen. When everybody, it seems like, is turning their back and said, I ain't going with God. You can just stand there, follow God. God say, don't you just love walking with me? Don't you just love letting me lead the way? Lord, I do love it, and I'd love to praise you for your leading. Yes, sir. I can't promise you if you follow His leading, you'll never face depression. I can't promise you if you're following His leading that your children won't break your heart. I can't promise you if you're following His leading that every day is going to be a bed of roses. I can't promise you that, Jeremy. But what I can promise you is if you will watch and keep your eyes on the Lord, even though it may be hard, Brother Mark, there is a delight that comes with simply letting God lead your life. Amen. And I refuse to give anybody else that place that God has in my life. I've had church members say, well, you ain't doing this and you ain't doing that. Amen. I don't think we got any around right at the present moment, so I can preach this clear-minded. I don't think you, and I just have to say, well, all I know is what the Bible said and how God is leading me. I've had them come and say, Brother Jack, well, you're being too hard. And then I got others, they'll come and say, you're not being hard enough. And buddy, I'm telling you, you'll get church people, they'll rip you in half. Because they think they got it all figured out and they don't even know what all you're dealing with. They don't know half of what you're dealing with. You say, well, preacher, how have you stayed in one piece? I've just had to say, I love you, and I love you, but I've got to follow God. And if you don't understand that, you know, if that makes you mad, you just have to get mad, but you don't get to be what God is for me. He is leading my life. I'm glad He's leading my life, Sissy, and I'm glad I can say tonight, Lord, I'd love to praise you for your leading. Well, I tried to get three, Brother Larry. I got one. That's terrible, ain't it? That's terrible. Amen. I got to get better at this. I don't know how these guys do this. Amen. Number two is their liberation. I won't preach it. I'd love to praise the Lord for his liberation. Amen. I got this 3 minutes. Let me say a word about it. Amen. They're in darkness. They're in affliction. The Bible said, Brother Riley, they get there because of their rebellion to God's words. They had a contempt for the counsel of God. You know what that tells me, Brother Jack? That tells me there came a time in their life God sent a messenger, a prophet, a man of God to say, whoa, you need to slow down a minute. What you're getting ready to do ain't good. And they said, psh, do our own thing. They went and done it, and the Bible said they got put in shackles. Sad, ain't it? Amen. Now they're in a crisis that is of their own making. Well, anybody know what that is? I'll tell you, I've been in a lot of situations where I was bound because of my own making. Amen. Since I've been saved. Can I be even more honest? Been a lot of times. And I hate to even say that. I ought to be further along than I am, but Jack, there's been some times I'm like them. I knew better to do than what I did. I just didn't do it. Oh, but the Lord comes and liberates them. And I wrote down two thoughts. Number one, in spite of their rebellion. God knew it was their fault. Ain't you glad we ain't God? Because if I was God and somebody treated me like I treat God sometimes, oh, come on now. If I was God and you treated me like you treat God, I'd go, made your bed, lay in it. We calling on me, do the best you can, get your own self out, big boy. But the Lord is going to liberate them in spite of their rebellion. So why would he do that? That's my second point, so I'm glad you asked that. He liberated them and delivered them because of their repentance. Now you go mess your life up and you want to just stay in it. You don't want to acknowledge your wrong, acknowledge your rebellion, acknowledge you created the mess you're in. God will let you just stay there. But if you ever turn and start crying to him, say, Lord, it's my fault. It's my fault. I'm sorry. You know what God will do? God will come to where you are. And the liberation and the deliverance that he describes, Brother Riley, in those verses, it is a complete, full, thorough deliverance from the shadow, from the bands, from the bonds, from the bars, and from the gates of what their sin had done to them. And you won't have to go to Greg Locke's tent to get it. Amen. You'll be able on an altar somewhere through life to fall down on your knees and say, God, I am sorry. And God will say, if you are heartfelt in your repentance, God will say, all right, it's going to be a little road we got to walk, but I'm going to liberate you from all this that has bogged you down. I'm humored by some of the false doctrine and ideas Baptists have in their mind. Amen. Well, you know, I just got weaknesses and all. I can't help it. The devil got me again. Twenty-fourth time again. Oh, come on. That ain't, listen, if we got a God who can't liberate us any better than that, we might as well shut the doors, quit calling ourselves Christian, because we ain't no different than that crowd out there. I know we fall. I know we can fall. I know Christians can do some very terrible, awful, wicked things. You can be saved and do some pretty messed up stuff. But when you do, God don't leave you there. And your job is to repent of it, turn to God and say, God, I need some help. When God brings you out, God cuts the cord and God breaks the shackles. Buddy, you're able to say, I would love to praise the Lord. I got myself in a mess, but in spite of my rebellion and because of repentance, God set me free. And now He's broke that chain in my life. You can get, listen, you can get yourself in a mess. Let God liberate you and you can walk in that freedom and that victory the rest of the days of your life. Amen. Lay it down, repent of it, and watch what God won't do for you. Well, that's two. I'll pick up on number three. I ain't going to even try to get to thanking the Lord. I'd love to praise the Lord for His Logos, His Word. Amen. I'll deal with that. You won't want to miss it. It's probably, Brother Mike, my favorite one in all the Psalm 107. Amen. All right. I love you. Thank you for being here. Is that a help? Amen. I hope that's a help. Anybody love to praise the Lord a minute tonight before we pray? Anybody love to praise the Lord? Brother Carl? Amen. Amen. Yes.
And for the next 6 months, I poured all those bottles of pills.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen.
That's a beautiful thing. You know only the Lord can do that.
That's right. He is able. What Brother Carl's saying, He is able. God is able. Amen. Anybody else? Tell it to you. I believe you do. Amen. That's right. Amen. Good sister. Amen. I love it. Anybody else love to praise the Lord? Amen. Ain't He good to us? He's good to us. All right. Let's do this. Let's close in a word of prayer. And we're going to call on the Lord here for just a moment this evening. A couple prayer requests I want to give to you beyond those that's on the prayer list. And do pray for each other, if you would. Remember each other. We got challenged by Brother Raines about being that intercessor for each other. And so let's do that and practice that and do that daily. Find somebody. Get somebody in the church on your heart and say, Lord, I want to touch you in matters concerning them, and do that. We want to keep praying for Sister Pat Jenkins. Good to have. Of course, she was here on the Lord's Day this last Sunday, had surgery last week, and the Lord's helped her with her first one and helped her even greater with this second one she's had. And so we're thankful for that. But she does still have recovery and things of that nature go through, so continue to pray for her. Sister Christine's mother, I guess surgery went well. She had a fall and had to have surgery, and so she's going to need a lot of prayer, I'm sure, in the weeks and even months to come. And so you remember Carla this evening, okay? A dear friend of mine, he's an older man, and I'll give you his name, Harold Bateman. Y'all know Harold? It's Sister Ada's brother-in-law. Sister Ada's brother-in-law. He's been here a lot of times in the years that I've pastored here, and he has been just a dear Christian friend, encourager, and prayer warrior. I'm not even his pastor, but he has been that to me. And long story short, they've had to call hospice in, and don't know how long he has for this world, but I stopped in and seen him today, and he sure does need our prayers. His wife needs our prayers, family needs our prayers, and they've testified already the grace of God. But let's pray for that family, pray for Harold in these last days, that the grace of God would continue to be sufficient for him, okay? All right. All right. Remember Sister Till this week and her sons. Pray for her sons. I know Brother Al's been mentioning Adam as well and his physical needs. So pray about all that. Anybody else got anything? I know the Bryants, they're here. Pray for their daughter and continue to pray for her and her needs in these days. Okay. I've seen Brother Mark. Pray for Gil. We've prayed for him in the past, I believe. So, ain't you thankful you got a church that people who ain't here know, hey, get that church praying for us. Amen. Keep praying for Tom and Pam, Miss Kate's mom and dad. Keep praying for them. Amen. Amen. Ron Hamilton, if you don't know, that's Patch the Pirate. He's getting close to leaving this world. Pray for him, Grace, and their family. Jeremy. All right. Remember Brittany and Scott. Candy. Okay. I just remember Jimmy Ball. I'd heard he had been pretty sick. Let's pray for Brother Jimmy. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
I want to thank the Lord for answering prayer.
Amen.
And, for what he's going to do in the lives of our children and grandchildren.
Amen, Debbie. Amen. You can thank him for it. Anybody else here? All right, Brother Joe. Yes. Yes, continue to remember these. All right. Anybody else here? All right. Pray for Brother Tim, Sister Jessica. Their church is coming up tomorrow, and they're having a marriage conference, retreat. Whatever. Amen. They're having a marriage thingy going on. All right. Pray for that meeting. And, myself may be involved in that, planning that direction. The preacher that he had scheduled is in a meeting that's broke out. Revivals broke out in that church. And, the Lord's doing some things there. And we're thankful for that report. But, pray for their meeting up here in Pigeon Forge, that all that would go well. And pray that if I have to do all that speaking he talked about, Lord, to give us what we need, all right? Amen. I told John about it coming out the hallway. I said, what am I supposed to tell them? He said, just tell them, follow the Lord. It'll be okay. I said, well, I'll send you over. You can tell them that. He said, I ain't even married. And so he's got it all figured out. Amen. Now pray for that meeting, okay? All right, anybody else? Let's pray for our church. Lord, been good to us. And I'm thankful for that. Pray God's hand would stay on us. A lot of things. I need wisdom about what to do. Things we need direction from the Lord in. And so you pray for your pastor in these days. And while God's a moving and working, I know it ain't by large measure. It ain't no grand revival, as some would call it. But let's make sure we walk humbly. Let's make sure we walk wisely, soberly among each other. And if you got issues, get them worked out. Don't you grieve and quench what God desires to do here. All right. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your heart right with God and with your brother and your sister. And let's watch what God does in these days. I'm still banking on God. I don't know about y'all. I get excited, Brother Joe, when I hear God moving in other churches. I really do rejoice over that. I'm not jealous of that. I'm not one of these guys that if God's moving somewhere, wherever God's moving, that it's just because they compromised and are liberal and it ain't real. I rejoice when I hear about moves of God in other places. But I'll be honest, I want to see God do something here. I really do. And I'm not going to work it up. We're not going to emotionalize anything. When it happens, it'll be all of God. But I believe God can and God is able. And you say, what are we going to do? What are we going to do if he don't? What do we do if it's going to be a while? Just going to keep doing what we've been doing. If what we're doing don't work, then we're in big trouble. All right, let's stand together.